call. She's got to conserve her strength. Amen. How many love the Lord? How many looking forward to the altar call? Amen. Mike. Sometimes you just can't wait to get to that altar and make everything right with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ready to come? Amen. Here comes Brother Hayes. Looking for me. He dropped in the other night with a pizza. Can you believe that? I need a pizza like I need a hole in the head. Amen. I'm trying to get rid of this tum-tum, and he comes and fills it up again. He's not worried about that. I'm in love with the Lord. Amen. God bless you, brother. Bible says, bless your soul with fatness, brother.
I'm extra blessed.
I'm extra blessed.
He said, tum tum. I was thinking, tank tank. Let's all stand for God's word. Just briefly, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 46. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Pastor. Amen. You may be seated. For a little while, I wanted to talk or preach or use some scripture about women disciples of Christ. Now, you say, well, I'm not a woman. That's okay. You're a man. And you know what? It's important for the man to know the value of the woman. It's important for the man to recognize what the example that Jesus set towards the woman. Right? And we're going to talk about that. And so I want to talk a little while about the women disciples of Christ. Ever since Adam and Eve, God has looked out for the woman. Eve was deceived, but Adam knew what he was doing. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam knew what he was getting involved in. Adam could have interfered. Adam could have said no. Adam could have said stop. But he allowed his wife to be fooled and to be deceived and to fall into failure. But God had an answer, and he promised that there would come a redeemer. And that redeemer would come from the seed of a woman. The seed of a woman. We know two Old Testament books were written from the perspective of a woman. Esther and Ruth. Right? We know that Jesus loved to use parables about women. He talked about the widow and the unjust judge. He gave an example of prayer. He said, if you want to know how to pray, if you want to know how to get a hold of God, if you want to know how to be tenacious and get the ear of God, he used the example of a woman praying about the injustice done towards her son. He used the example of the 10 virgins to show faithfulness. He wanted to give people an example of how you should be faithful. He used the example of women preparing to be married. He used the example of when God looks for somebody, when God's looking for somebody and God's trying to help somebody who's lost, he used the illustration of a woman who was sweeping her house for a lost piece of silver, right? And her diligence and her work and her effort and her fear and her concern, because he knew people could relate to that. He knew people could relate to the worry and the fear and the fret of a woman who maybe that was her mind right there. That was her cash, so to say, her set aside, and now all of a sudden she can't find it. And she worked diligently to find it. Her dowry. That's even better. Or the woman who hides the leaven in the bread so that the whole lump becomes leaven, about working her salvation little by little. When you're kneading that bread, little by little, working it and folding it and kneading it and growing it and causing it to rise. He used an example of a woman. You know, it was the poor widow's offering that Jesus noticed. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. And you know, it was her offering that Jesus noticed. There were many men there that were giving. There were many men who gave more. There were many men who gave from their abundance. But God noticed the sacrifice of a woman. The sacrifice of a woman. I'm talking about women disciples of Christ. Women are important in the work of Christ. I think that today in our society, there's two polarizing thoughts. Either a woman is got to be a leader and got to be in charge of everything, or keep the women out of everything and treat them like the scour of the earth or whatever, and don't recognize them. And that's not who Jesus was. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus knew the order of the family. Jesus knew the structure that he had set in place, but that didn't stop him from loving women. That didn't stop him from caring about women. That didn't stop him from caring about those ladies and their souls and their lives. He was watching. He was watching them. He was caring about them. The Bible says he had compassion for the widow whose son died. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. That woman was a widow. She didn't have anybody to look to. She didn't have, living in a world where, you know, we say that the women should be subject to the husband, and they should, but the husband has to be a provider. The husband has to be a leader. The husband has to be somebody who's setting an example. The husband has to be, the Bible says that the husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church. The Bible teaches the man that he has to make sacrifices. When Christ loved the church, how much did Christ love the church? The Bible says that he gave his life. He gave his life. You know, it's the same way today, that the same love God has for women today. He loved this woman. He cared about her. He knew that her only hope of sustenance was in this young man. That was her hope. They lived in a society where the women were not allowed to work. The women were not allowed to be in business. And so therefore they had to depend on their husbands. Or if they didn't have a husband, they had to depend on their family. And so here's this woman going. She's widowed. She's already lost her son, her husband. And now here she is, obviously in tears and great dread, because now her only hope was going to be put in the grave. And you know what? God was watching. Jesus was watching. Jesus didn't just stand there and say, "Wow, that's sad." Right? He didn't just let it go by. He didn't just offer some condolences. He didn't just shrug his shoulders and say, "C'est la vie." No, Jesus stopped. And he came in and he intervened. And he's like, "It doesn't have to be like this. I'm going to fix this for you." He had compassion. Jesus had compassion on that widow. He understood her grief. And he raised that boy from the dead. And he delivered him to his mother. We know the Bible says to honor thy mother and thy father. And when Jesus was beginning his ministry, when Jesus began his ministry, the first recorded miracle, the first recorded miracle of Jesus was at the marriage supper of Canaan. We know that Jesus was there with his family and his disciples, and they went to that marriage, and his mother came up to him. And it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Mother, I'm here for you. Mother, I'm able to help you. What do you want, mother? Well, it's not time yet for me to start this ministry. What would you have me to do for you? He was honoring his mother. He was honoring his mother's needs. And therefore, he was ready to do something in his power to help her. She didn't like this situation. She didn't like what was going on. She didn't like the fact that this marriage of probably a lesser affluent person wanted to impress the governor. And they had this marriage. And now all of a sudden, this special day, this bride's special day, was going to be ruined because the governor had showed up and they didn't have anything to offer him. They didn't have anything to give to him to show that they were respecting him in the community. And so I could imagine the fear of the bride thinking, we're always going to be considered these people who can't get it together, these people who they were not concerned about the leader of the land. And her mother saw this. Her mother saw this and intervened and said, Jesus, this is important. This is important to this family. This is important to this bride. Can you do something? And Jesus said, I'm here for you, mother. I know. I understand. I can feel your pain. I'm going to do something about this. And man, did he ever do something. He changed that water into wine. She said to those servants, he said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Do it. And so he said, fill those pots to the top, to the brim. And they did. And when they dipped them in, he pulled out wine. They didn't just pull out wine. They pulled out the best wine. They pulled out the best grape juice. They pulled out the premium stuff. They pulled out the Marinellis or the Martinellis or whatever, you know. The good grape juice, right? They didn't get the Winco grape juice. They didn't get the, oh, Sister Rodriguez, you're going to love this one. They didn't get the Kool-Aid. They didn't get the grape Kool-Aid. They didn't get the generic brand. They got the Welch's. They got the top of the line. And the governor was like, man, you brought the good stuff. Change that marriage. Change that family's life for the rest of their life. That governor walk away and say, that was a special wedding. That was a different wedding. Not even knowing what happened. It wasn't like Jesus was seeking some notoriety for what he was doing. It was a secret. The Bible says only the servants knew what had happened. Right? But Jesus wasn't concerned about doing something for his benefit. He was doing it for his mother's benefit. He was doing it for that bride's benefit. I'm talking about the compassion of Christ towards women, the women disciples of Christ. He had compassion for the family of the saints. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. God cares about your family. God cares about your family. He cares about the women of the family. He cares about the women of the family. If there's a woman in your life that you care about, your mother, your wife, a daughter or a niece or something, you know, and your heart is going out to him. So is the heart of Jesus Christ. So is the heart of Jesus Christ. Our brother right now, our brother is taking his wife to the hospital. And you know that he has concern. You know, that brother, he can mask it. He's good. He's good at staying on top with his attitude. But I can only imagine the concern, the urgency for him to take care of his wife. Because that is the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is that I have an obligation and I love this person. And not only do I love this person, but Lord, I know that you love her too. That's how we should be bringing our prayers to God. Lord, I love this person, but I know that you love them too. And that's what these people did. They besought him for her. We love this woman. Help her. She's in pain. She's in grief. And Jesus came and did something. It was Mary that Jesus ensured was taken care of. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, Jesus on the cross, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, John, the disciple John, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. God, even in Jesus' most agonizing moments, even in his most shamed moments of his life, he had concern for his mother. He had concern for his mother. When people should have been concerned about him, he was concerned about others. And he was concerned about his mother. And what did he do? He said, take care of her, John. Take care of Mary. Take care of my mother. She needs to know that I'm not leaving her abandoned. I'm not leaving her abandoned. He cared about Mary. He cared about her. He wanted her to know that he had her covered. I've got you covered, Mary, even though I'm going to this cross. Compassion for the intimately ill. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. God understands women's problems. I'm not getting into details, but God understands your uniqueness. God understands the things. Men can't understand that, but Jesus can understand it because Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the one that made the woman. Jesus is the one who made the woman, and he cares and he knows. And here's a woman who had an intimate injury in her life, an intimate problem, something that burned her for a large portion of her life. It was something that caused her to be ostracized. It was something that caused her to be not allowed in because of her infirmity, and that she was considered unclean and she couldn't be around other people. But you know, Jesus knew. Jesus knew what this woman had need of. Jesus had what this woman had need of. The Bible says that virtue came out of him. God's goodness came out of him into that woman and healed her. He has compassion. Jesus has compassion. Compassion for the young girl. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. You know, The father was concerned about his daughter. Fathers should be concerned about their daughters. And this father was concerned about his daughter. And he asked for Jesus to come and help. But what happened was the girl had died. The girl had died. And everyone had already given up hope. Jesus doesn't give up hope. Jesus does not give up hope. Jesus is the hope. Amen, brother. Amen. When I was coming up here, I said, I need to hand this microphone to some of these brothers tonight. And they say, excited about God, excited about what God is doing. And God cares and God is concerned. And even when people berate and mock and ridicule, and the immediate response would be, well, if you don't want to be helped, I don't want to help you. If you don't want to have help, I don't want to help you. But that's not what Jesus did. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, go away. I need to think. I'm doing something here, and I don't need this negative influence around me. And he prayed, and she arose. How about the Syrophoenician woman? For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone and her daughter laid upon the bed. Who was the first Gentile to get right with God? Well, here it is right here. This Syrophoenician woman. It wasn't some great king. It wasn't some Gentile prince. It was a woman concerned about her daughter. It was a woman who said, you know what? These people are different. These people are prejudiced. These people won't accept me, but I don't care. I'm going to go anyways. I'm going to find out if this person will. Not only am I going to go, it's not I'm going to find out. She was determined. She was determined to get what she needed from God. You know, the Jews, they didn't have pet dogs. Dogs in that part of the world were considered dirty. You couldn't have them around, right? Now, we live in a world where everybody has a dog, right? We all have dogs. You know about dogs. You go and get the dog food at the pet store. You get their shots or whatever, right? And they're friends, they're companions. But that wasn't so in Israel. But it was so where this lady came from. And what am I trying to say? She has special perspective. She has special perspective. She said, oh, you Jews, you don't like dogs, but we keep dogs. And you know what? I know something about dogs that you probably don't know. And that is, they'll eat the crumbs under the master's table, right? She used her weakness as a strength to get attention of Jesus. She used her difference to get attention of Jesus. And I know Jesus wanted to help her. I know Jesus wanted to help her, but he had to prove her. He had to prove her. Compassion for the twisted woman. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. Glorified God. I don't know how old this woman was. It just says that she had been in this situation for 18 years. She could have been an old woman. I've seen old women with the osteoporosis. Who knows what this is? We can only guess. But whatever it was, it destroyed her life. Whatever it was, there was nothing that could be done about it. There wasn't any medical help for her. And she must have been, and she had to have been ridiculed and to be set aside or whatever. Her body was mutated. Her body was broken. And the Bible says that Jesus healed her and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Jesus had compassion on her. Jesus had compassion on this woman. How many times do we see people in this world and we see ugly things in this world and we turn away? We turn away. We don't want to look at it. It's disgusting. It's gross or whatever. That wasn't Jesus. That wasn't what Jesus did for this woman. He looked at her. He called her. He said unto her, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmities." He healed her. I'm talking about women, disciples of Christ. Christ cares for women. Christ cares for women. He cares for men. But tonight we're talking about the discipleship, that the love of God is clearly displayed in the Bible of how much God loved women, how much Jesus loved women, how much compassion Jesus had towards women, how much he valued them, the example that he set about them. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. You know, there was two sisters who were sad. And those two women were friends of Jesus. Pastor preached about them just recently, about those two women. One of them was concerned about working. The other one was concerned about the right thing, getting close to Jesus. But both of them were loved by Jesus. Both of them were his dear friends. He cared about them. He loved them. And then their brother Lazarus died. And they were so broken and they were so sorrowful. And one of them, Jesus came to one of them and he said, he shall be risen. And they said, "Oh, yes, we know. We know in the resurrection that they'll be raised again." But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I can fix this problem now." And she said, and they went to the tomb and they even fought him at the tomb. He said, "Oh, by now he stinks, Lord. Please stop this, Lord. Please, Lord. We're tired and we're sad and we know that you're the Lord, but would you please stop this now, Lord? He's gone. Let's let him go." And Jesus was like, "No, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. I love you, ladies. I care about you, ladies." Lazarus might have been in Abraham's bosom saying, "Oh, yeah, I'm on my way. Oh, yeah, it's done. I'm ready to go home. You know, I'm with the Lord. I'm with in Abraham's bosom. I know I'm in the right place, right? And my journey is done. My travels are done." But Jesus was like, "No, Lazarus, you got to come back. Because you got two sisters that I care about. You got two sisters that I care about." He had compassion for the despised woman. The woman saith unto him, the woman at the well, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he was come, he would tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." You know that when Jesus was on his way, he told his disciples, he said, "I must needs go through Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria." Now, some of you may have heard this before, and I know Pastor knows this, that Samaria, that there were sometimes when you traveled through that land, that you had to go farther to get to a city in Israel by going around Samaria, right? You had to like kind of go a longer trip, but the Jews wouldn't go through Samaria. It was like the hood for them. They were like, "Well, you don't go through there. We don't deal with those people. We're prejudiced towards those people. You don't go this way." But Jesus said, "I have to go through here. I have a mission. There's something I have to take care of in Samaria." And that something was the people of that town, of course. But it didn't start with a man. It started with a woman. It started with a woman. Jesus said, "I have a mission. I have to meet this woman. I have to meet this woman." Right? I'm on a mission. And it wasn't just a mission. He had a mission to meet a woman, a particular woman. And it wasn't just any woman. It was a woman who had problems. It was a woman who had social problems. She had been through multiple husbands. She was living with somebody who wasn't her husband. And it appears that everybody in the town knew her and knew of her, right? And so we've also been taught that the time that this woman went to the well was not the time when people go to the well to get water. It was an off time. So she was going there so that people wouldn't see her, so that she wouldn't come in contact with people and they wouldn't start their storytelling or whatever. She just wanted to be left alone. But she met a man. She met a man that cared about her. She met a man that was willing to talk to her. She met a man that wanted more from her than what all the other men wanted. Hello? She met a man who wanted more from her than what the other men wanted. Right? He showed her that he wasn't just out there to get her. He cared about her. He was concerned about her. He wanted to help her. And she went on to soul win that whole town. She went on to soul win that whole town. I tell you, the Bible tells us that she went and brought those people to Jesus. And then after they had met Jesus, they went back to her and they said, oh, now we believe because we have seen. Oh, now we believe because we have seen him. And I think that it's like that is so indicative of such a bad heart. That they couldn't give this lady the honor that was due to her for the work that she did by soul winning them, by inviting them, by her inviting them to meet Jesus. But she's the one that we remember in the Bible. She's the one that we remember in the Bible. Compassion for the sinful woman. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus, no man. No man. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Jesus show compassion for this woman when no one else is going to show compassion. And when these people who only wanted to catch Jesus in a trap were willing to destroy a woman's life to do it, they had no care for her. They had no concern for her. She was a dog to them. She meant nothing to them, you know. And so they came and they brought her. I can imagine they drug her in there and threw her in the middle. And they had their stones and they were ready to do their business. And they had all this self-righteousness and self-indignation against her. Oh, she's dirty. Oh, she's so disgusting. Right? And the Bible says that Jesus just stood there and drew in the sand. And I like what one man of God said. We don't know what he wrote in the sand. We have no idea what he wrote in the sand. But one man speculates that he was sitting there writing their sins out in the sand. Hey, you think you're so righteous? What about when you stole this from this guy? Or you think you're so righteous? What about when you shacked up with this woman? Or you think you're so righteous? What about when you wanted to steal your brother's land or whatever? And the Bible says from the greatest to the least, they all were self-convicted and they left. And they walked away. But Jesus didn't walk away. Jesus was there, and Jesus was the only one who had a spirit of compassion for this woman. And he stood in the gap for her. He stood in the gap for her. He stood up for her. He stood up for her. He stood between her and all these dogs, all these hateful people. You know, without Jesus, that's what we are. Without Jesus, we're not good. We're not good people. Right? We can't stand up for anybody. But Jesus can. This one last example, and then I'll let Pastor come. It was the women who sought Jesus out after his death. It was the women that sought Jesus out after his death. I remember in another message I had mentioned about how that the only person who did something about the crucifixion of Christ was a woman. She was the only one who had recognized that Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, and she did something about it.
she had poured out that perfume on that man, right? It was a woman. It wasn't the men. The alabaster box. Why? To prepare him for his death. The Bible even says that. The Bible says that she had done it in preparation for his burial. She knew. She listened to what Jesus said and believed. She believed what he said. He said, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. And now after he is dead and buried, the Bible says, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. These women went to the sepulcher to bewail him, you know, to the last send off, right? And to maybe leave some gifts and stuff along with his burial, right? And so they had went there, and they were the first ones. The disciples didn't go there. The disciples were skulking in some back room somewhere. The men were skulking in some back room somewhere. It was the women who got up and said, let's go see Jesus. Let's go see our Jesus. Let's go do something for him. You know, that's something beautiful about women. I love it. You know, that they have compassion. They have that special love, you know, that nurturing love. Let's go nurture the body of Jesus. Let's leave some perfume. Let's see some gifts for Jesus, right? And it was the women who got the blessing of knowing that Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is not in the tomb. And who were the first gospel preachers of the New Testament? Who were they, Sister Rodriguez? It was those women that went to the disciples and said, he's alive. He's alive. He is alive. The first gospel preachers of Christ were women that came back from the tomb. They were women with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. I'm talking about the women of Christ. The women of Christ, as Pastor calls.
That's so funny. The place to pray.